From Pacifica Radio, this is Democracy Now!
He's the son of a president, the son of a CIA director, son of a first lady. They think he cannot be beat with his background and awesome power.
The sounds of protest and the presidency as George W. Bush is inaugurated.
The peaceful transfer of authority is rare in history, yet common in our country. With a simple oath, we affirm old traditions and make new beginnings. As I begin, I thank President Clinton for his service to our nation.
All that and more coming up on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Thousands of activists from across the country marched down the rain-slick streets of the Capitol Saturday, waving signs, chanting slogans, and maneuvering spots for spots at key inaugural ceremonies for a chance to denounce President Bush. It was the tightest security ever imposed on an inauguration. While protesters filled the streets of Washington, corporations helped pack the ballrooms for this year's inaugural celebrations. Ford, General Motors, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, and the tobacco companies Philip Morris and U.S. Tobacco each donated $100,000, the maximum permitted, towards the total $35 million that was raised in 31 days. American Airlines, a company based in Bush's home state of Texas and which is seeking approval for a three-way deal with TWA and U.S. Airways, also donated $100,000. A number of sports teams, including the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Washington Redskins, and the New Orleans Saints donated $100,000. Many in the sports world have been concerned about threats from Congress to change the tax code that would make things less favorable for sports team owners. New administration. George Bush is expected to begin his presidency with a flurry of executive acts and policy initiatives designed to end the Clinton era and bring so-called compassionate conservatism to a country that is not at all sure it wants it. With his transition nominations completed in record time, Bush started his presidency as he clearly intends to go on. Scarcely an hour after being sworn in, he blocked the last executive acts of Bill Clinton, ensuring that measures not yet entered in the official Federal Register will not take effect. New environmental measures to restrict pollution from livestock and guidelines designed to safeguard standards in Medicare, the pensioners' health scheme, are among the orders that will not be implemented. Bush has also made known that he intends to review the panoply of executive orders, including land conservation orders, but not Saturday's pardons issued by Clinton in his last weeks in office. 2 hours after Bush issued his blocking order, the Senate approved half his cabinet nominations, seven in all, including Colin Powell as Secretary of State, Paul O'Neill at the Treasury, and Rod Paige as Education Secretary. A priority for the president this week will be to ensure that the confirmations of two other cabinet members, John Ashcroft as Attorney General and Gail Norton as Interior Secretary, are not derailed. Power-strapped California isn't getting much of a break. The state is facing another week of power problems after utility officials issued unprecedented alerts of coming shortages. The warnings came during a weekend that was supposed to provide some relief. Stage 3 alerts were declared both Saturday and yesterday and remain in effect as the work week begins. One utility official says it's a grim sign that a power alert was declared on a Sunday when there's usually low power use. Blazing a new path for a vice president's wife, Liz Cheney has returned to her job at a Washington think tank. Cheney says despite her husband serving as vice president, she also plans to continue serving on the boards of American Express Mutual Funds and Reader's Digest, both paid positions. Government watchdogs see possible conflicts of interest. President Bush's aides say lawyers have determined that Cheney's board positions don't pose a problem. Kuwait today welcomed a call for United Nations sanctions imposed on Iraq for invading and occupying its territory 10 years ago to be lifted. Foreign Minister Sheikh Sabah al-Ahmad al-Sabah told reporters, "I was the first to congratulate the editor-in-chief of Ar-Rai al-Ram newspaper for his editorial calling for sanctions to be lifted." In rare front-page editorial yesterday, the Kuwaiti newspaper called for the end of sanctions, saying they hit ordinary Iraqis and only served to strengthen the leadership in Baghdad. Israeli and Palestinian negotiators resume talks today, even Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak said he did not expect much from the peace marathon in Taba, Egypt. In the Gaza Strip, an Israeli army tracker was wounded when a roadside bomb went off. Israel responded by closing the main north-south road, cutting the strip in half. Despite the blast, Israel eased its blockade of the Palestinian territories, in effect during 4 months of deadly Israeli-Palestinian fighting, and permitting 16,000 Palestinian workers to return to jobs in Israel. A new report on global warming warns of disaster. A United Nations panel on climate change issued the report, which says global temperatures could rise by about 10 degrees over the next century. Scientists from 99 nations are meeting in Shanghai, China. They say new evidence shows more clearly than ever that temperature increases are caused mostly by pollution, not by changes in the sun or other natural factors.
Don't know much about history. Don't know much foreign policy. I don't know the names of men I kill or implications of the seats I fill. But I do know who pays my way for corporate interests and the NRA. What a wonderful world this will be. I don't know about ecology. Cutting trees has always worked for me. And I don't know about the woman's vote. And I can't name a single bill I wrote. But I do know this much for sure. If rich stay rich and the poor stay poor, what a wonderful world this will be.
And that is Joel Landy singing What a Wonderful World. Joel Landy at joellandy.tripod.com here on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Thousands of protesters around the country took to the streets this weekend in the nation's capital to protest the inauguration of George W. Bush as the 43rd president of the United States. The site of the ceremony, Washington, D.C., saw the largest Inauguration Day protest since Richard Nixon took office in 1973 and the tightest security ever. On Saturday, the Secret Service restricted access to the parade route by creating unprecedented checkpoints. Nonetheless, tens of thousands of people, many demonstrating for the first time, expressed their outrage with signs such as Jail to the Thief and Re-elect Gore. Today, the eight demonstrators who were arrested will be arraigned, at least two on felony charges. At the official level, the transition was orderly, if uncomfortable, end to a bitter election. As President Clinton left office, he announced 176 presidential pardons for numerous people, including former associate, friends, and his brother. Convicted of a cocaine offense, conspicuously absent from the list was Native American activist Leonard Peltier, who remains in prison for now close to a quarter of a century. The Bush administration is looking at the rules that President Clinton and executive orders has passed. Among those likely to be overturned, said Bush officials, is a 1993 order by Clinton that restored federal funding to overseas family planning programs that included abortion counseling. The Bush administration also is looking into abortion opponents' charges that RU 486 is unsafe. The drug has been used for years in Europe and won FDA approval in September. Today is the 28th anniversary of Roe versus Wade. Another part of Bush's plan that is likely to draw heat from Democrats is his proposal to give federal education funds to parents if a school fails to live up to educational standards 3 years in a row. These issues were on the minds of thousands of protesters on Saturday who pointed out that Bush got a half a million votes fewer than Gore. The demonstrators, along with the country's major civil rights organizations, charged that Bush's crucial Electoral College victory in Florida came at the expense of disenfranchised African Americans around the country. Today, we'll play excerpts of the inauguration speech of George W. Bush and also go to the streets of Washington, D.C., where the protesters were out in force. This is President George W. Bush.
Chief Justice Rehnquist, President Carter, President Bush. President Clinton, distinguished guests and my fellow citizens. The peaceful transfer of authority is rare in history, yet common in our country. With a simple oath, we affirm old traditions and make new beginnings. As I begin, I thank President Clinton for his service to our nation. And I thank Vice President Gore for a contest conducted with spirit and ended with grace. I am honored and humbled to stand here where so many of America's leaders have come before me, and so many will follow. We have a place, all of us, in a long story, a story we continue, but whose end we will not see. It is a story of a new world that became a friend and liberator of the old, the story of a slave-holding society that became a servant of freedom, the story of a power that went into the world to protect but not possess, to defend but not to conquer. It is the American story, a story of flawed and fallible people united across the generations by grand and enduring ideals. The grandest of these ideals is an unfolding American promise that everyone belongs, that everyone deserves a chance, that no insignificant person was ever born. Americans are called to enact this promise in our lives and in our laws. And though our nation has sometimes halted and sometimes delayed, we must follow no other course. Through much of the last century, America's faith in freedom and democracy was a rock in a raging sea. Now it is a seed upon the wind, taking root in many nations.
My name is Joan Roney. Myself and Matthew Power were given two tickets to the inauguration ceremony. We were in a seated area about 20, 30 yards away from where President-elect Bush was going to take the oath of office. We were surrounded by donors who gave money ranging from $50,000 to $100,000 towards the Bush-Cheney campaign. There was a woman in line next to me who had a standing-only ticket, and she had given $15,000. As we had not been allowed to bring placards or stickers or posters of any kind, this is what our back of our tickets had said, we had written words on our bodies, and we had planned, and this is what we did, as soon as Chief Justice Rehnquist initiated the oath of office to George W. Bush, we stood up and dropped our drawers and took off our shirts and proceeded to walk hand in hand, tightly handed, across the aisle and up onto the platform and raised our hands high in the air and let our body show the words, which on my body it said, "No democracy?" question mark on the front. On the back of me it said, "Hail to the thief." Thief was across my bottom area. And on my right arm it said, "One person, one vote." And on my left arm it said, "Ricky Martin, how could you?" And on the front of Matthew Power, on his chest, he had written in permanent marker, "No mandate." And on his back, it said, no more prisons. As we were on the platform, we heard people yelling, "Go back to Arkansas. I hope you get pneumonia. I hope you freeze to death." And lots of men were videotaping, and lots of cameras were flashing. And all along at this time, George Bush is being sworn in. The Secret Service, I assume it was them, and the Capitol Police came up to the platform where we stood, and asked us to put back on our clothes. Matthew began to put back his clothes on, and I planned to, but then I said, just 1 minute, I just need to go to the other platform. So I proceeded to shuffle my way down the stairs of this platform and walk up the other platform. And the next platform, you know, I showed my signs of discontent with George W. Bush. And then I put back my coat, and we were escorted away and held for about an hour and a half and asked things like, do you have animosity against George W. Bush, and do you want to bring him harm? Well, I said I was upset with him. And I said that I don't want to hurt him. And, oh, they also grilled me on who I knew and where I was staying and how I got down here. And everything I said, I don't know. It was just somebody I heard was coming down here. And they really wanted to know who gave me the tickets. And I wanted to know, too, because I really don't know who gave me the tickets. But, so that's the story. Oh, and they asked me to, they told me to take my clothes back off so that they could take pictures of all the writings on my body.
So the Secret Service took pictures of you naked?
Yes, they did take pictures of me naked, yeah, my whole body. And
do you know the name of the Secret Service agent that has the naked pictures of you?
No, I don't, but I guess I should find that out.
Our democratic faith is more than the creed of our country. It is the inborn hope of our humanity, an ideal we carry but do not own, a trust we bear and pass along. And even after nearly 225 years, we have a long way yet to travel. While many of our citizens prosper, others doubt the promise, even the justice of our own country. The ambitions of some Americans are limited by failing schools and hidden prejudice and the circumstances of their birth. And sometimes our differences run so deep, it seems we share a continent, but not a country. We do not accept this, and we will not allow it. Our unity, our union, is the serious work of leaders and citizens in every generation. And this is my solemn pledge. I will work to build a single nation of justice and opportunity. I know this was in our reach because we are guided by a power larger than ourselves who creates us equal in his image. And we are confident in principles that unite and lead us onward. America has never been united by blood or birth or soil. We are bound by ideals that move us beyond our backgrounds, lift us above our interests, and teach us what it means to be citizens.
I'm here to speak out, like everyone else is, about how Bush was given office and not elected into office. It's not right, it's not democratic, and I think everyone out here feels the same way. I'm also here to represent the hundreds of people in Florida whose vote did not get counted. This is wrong. And I mean, definitely, we're going to make our voice known.
So why are you wearing a mask today?
Because I understand that we're living in a police state, and one thing that they always do is take away our freedom to protest. They're getting blocking us off every block, and all we want to do is voice ourselves, and they're not even letting us do that. And the media and the paparazzi, they're all out here. It's all propaganda. They tell us that we have the right to demonstrate, we have the right to free speech, but then they try to silence us. Do you think that's right?
Do you think we make it an easier target by wearing a mask? That they can make you a scapegoat and say that there's a hooligan if you're wearing masks and you're hiding behind it. Have you heard that argument?
No. I'm simply wearing a mask because I choose to conceal myself. I know the media's all out here in all forms. And I just want to protect myself. But also, mainly, the reason why I'm out here is to make my voice known. You don't need to see my face to hear my voice. You just need to listen to what the people are saying.
Okay.
Every child must be taught these principles. Every citizen must uphold them. and every immigrant, by embracing these ideals, makes our country more, not less, American.
And you're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! On Inauguration Day, Saturday, the inauguration of the 43rd President of the United States. As he went down the inaugural route, people shouted, "Selected, not elected." When we come back, we'll hear from the shadow inauguration that took place on Saturday with Dick Gregory and Al Sharpton, and we'll hear from the protesters on the streets. Stay with us. You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, the exception to the rulers. I'm Amy Goodman. As George W. Bush was sworn in as President of the United States, outside of the area was a shadow inauguration that took place as people marched in different areas of the city attempting to get closer to the inauguration and the inauguration route. The tightest security ever seen for inauguration prevented people, many thousands of people, from getting on the site, perhaps where pictures might have been taken of their signs right next to George W. Bush. But those at Stanton Park who then marched to the Supreme Court were out in force. And among those who spoke was the Reverend Al Sharpton of the National Action Network.
Thank you. No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
No justice!
No peace!
What do we want? What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want? We come from different religions, different political ideologies, different races, because we come today to underscore that in this capital city, they are perpetrating one of the great untruths in world history. Across town, a man that lost the election is being sworn in to preside over these United States. A man that lost the vote is being sworn in to lead the nation. But just because you may turn your clock doesn't mean you got the right time. Just because you announce a title doesn't mean that is your function. Then some of his friends say, why don't y'all get over it? But we want them to know that we will not get over it, because the right to vote was too painful. We had to fight too hard. We had to suffer too long. Too many people died. Too many cold nights in jail. Too many people lost their careers. You're going to have to do more, Mr. Bush, than be sworn in. You're going to have to do more than use your corporate greed. You're going to have to do more than use a police presence. You're going to have to do more than get messy with Jesse. We're not going to get over it. And those judges ought to know that we are not going to allow them to rob from us what was fought to give us in the first place. When they went into Florida, it wasn't just Florida. They've been doing this all over the United States. But when they stopped the count in Florida, they stopped any measure of credibility to the process. When they stopped the count in Florida, they replaced what they used to do with literacy tests. They no longer now ask you questions that you can't answer. They no longer ask you how many bubbles on a bar of soap. They've gone now to hanging chads and pregnant chads and can't find your name on the voter roll. But we know the political tricks because they've been used before. But just like we stopped your granddaddy from robbing us from the right to vote, we will stop you too. You've nominated John Ashcroft, a man who said that Confederates were patriots, a man that took an honorary degree from Bob Jones University, a man that fought against legislation for racial profiling. You have nominated people that think that they can turn back the clock. You thought we were asleep, but we came out in the cold today. We came out in the rain today. We came out in inclement weather today to tell you we don't care how cold it gets, how wet it gets, we're not gonna let you turn us around. It was cold in Birmingham jails. It was wet on the bridge in Selma. But just like our daddies and mamas stood up, we're here today to stand up, and we won't sit down until we turn America around. Let us not forget, nothing has changed since November 7th. If there was an election today, it would still be the same voting machines breaking down in Florida. If there was an election today, they would still have the same list that don't have our names on it. We've got to leave here today not saying we just went to a march, but we've taken an oath that we're going home in legislative, state legislative bodies and in the courts and into the streets until we correct the undemocratic process that led to the selection of George Bush. We've taken an oath today that the blood of Goodman and Cheney and Swerner were not shed in vain. We've taken an oath today that Martin Luther King will not be erased from the annals of history. We've taken an oath today. Fannie Lou Hamer did not walk for nothing, that Medgar Evers didn't lay down for nothing. We've taken an oath today that we are going to turn this nation around, and it'll take more than Senior Bush or Little Junior Bush to turn us around. All over this world, they're looking for us to stand up those that are victims of a foreign policy that gives one debt and another loans, those that are sitting somewhere now inhaling toxic wastes because they put dumps in our communities and don't put them in other communities and put the queen of racial profiling over the Environmental Protection Agency. They're dependent on us. Those that sit on death row that are not guilty of any crime other than standing up for their rights, they're dependent on us. They want to know why we're here. We're here because Mumia would be here, but he's locked up on death row. They want to know why we're here, because children whose school funding is being cut from public education roll couldn't be here, but we're here for them. We're here for the martyrs that shed their blood, and we're not going home until we let the world know that we will not be turned around. There's something wrong about robbery. It's bad if I break in your house and steal your television, but it's worse if I break in your house, steal your television. You run down the block, catch me and the television, bring me to court, and the court rules there was no robbery and gives me your television. The courts have certified a robbery of the public, so the public has the responsibility to stand up. Now let me tell you something else. We have seen also, just like we've seen in struggles before, that we got to come together on this. It's not as simple as just looking at what we see, because there are those that must come across all lines and stand together. It's not just a struggle for blacks. It's a struggle for all of us, because one of the most sickening and humiliating things I've seen is to see Clarence Thomas sit on the Supreme Court and vote against the rights that sponsored his career in the first place. We must know that this is not about just black or white. It's about right and wrong. They say that the selection of Bush is the rise of the Christian right. Well, I come in the front of Imani Temple to tell you there'll be a battle between the Christian right and the right Christians. The right Christians stand up for public funding for education. The right Christians stand up for women to have self-determination over their own bodies. The right Christians stand up for those that are downtrodden to be uplifted. The right Christians stand up against racial profiling, against police brutality. The right Christians stand up against thievery at the ballot box. The right Christians stand up against mergers of big corporations at the expense of workers and laborers. The right Christians will stand up in the name of Martin Luther King, in the name of Fannie Lou Hamer, in the name of Alan Lowenstein, and say we didn't come this far to turn around now. Let me say, as we prepare to march to the Supreme Court, we're marching because that's the first stop in a long journey. This is not a symbolic march. We want you to know that we're going home with our new officers. We're all deputies of voter rights. We're in office now. Somebody said, well, they're just out in the park. They need a job. We got a job. We're going to work on you for the next 4 years, George Bush. When we march to that building today, That's just to let you know that when we go home, we are going to all over America fulfill the movement of our parents. The 20th century, they confronted institutions. We must fulfill the promise of our mothers and fathers. They believed that if they could crack the door open, that we would walk through the door and make a new nation. We must fulfill that. Imagine how they fought with no modern technology, no emails, no internets, no computers, not even a fax machine. Some of them didn't even have a telephone. But they shook America up. They made America turn around. Certainly we that come more educated and more resourceful can build a movement to continue what they fought for in the first place. Let me end by reminding you, they may say, yes, there were hundreds out in Stanton Park that marched to the Supreme Court, but who are they? George Bush comes from a lineage of great American political and public figures. He's the son of a president, the son of a CIA director, son of a first lady. They think he cannot be beat with his background and awesome power. But I want you to know, Mr. Bush, you need to check out our lineage. You need to check out our background. You need to know who you fight. We are the children of Harriet Tubman. We are the children of Sojourner Truth. We're the children of Ida B. Wells. We're the children of Martin Luther King Jr. We're the children of Marcus Messiah Garvey. We're the children of those that stopped the war in Vietnam. We're the children of those that turned ecology around. We beat your daddy, and we're going to beat you too.
Want to hear from a brother now who needs no introduction at all. Someone who we all greatly admire, who has been in this movement for many, many years, and we depend upon him to keep it real. Please put your hands together for Bobby Dick Gregory.
Let me first say we thank and praise God that we have all made it here safely today. And I pray to God that your return and my return will be equally as safe. Let me say that what we're doing here is real. We come here to ensure domestic tranquility. That's what them old white folks wrote about. And the difference between them and these pimp punks now is they was honest. They knew they was too filthy to use themselves as a symbol of liberty. So they got a bell. And when they hit that bell, that God force cracked that bell from the bottom all the way up to the top. And they didn't even have the integrity or the cleverness to turn the bell around. So people that come here from all over the world and go to Philadelphia and look at the Liberty Bell, symbol is Christ. And we out here, the decent folks, is doing more to take that crack out the Liberty Bell than all of them folks that call themselves the seat of power. Now, you hear a lot of people say that George Bush is our president. First, this is not the first presidency that someone stole. It's the first one that the public know about. And so I do not appreciate somebody telling me that he's our president now and we should accept it. Well, if you stole my car, and because your daddy was the sheriff, I can't get it back. I'm never going to accept that that's your car. That's my car. And I'm going to do everything I can to see to it that you have a bad ride. Now, I normally pray for the president. My mama told me never pray for a thief unless they've been caught. So the thieves in jail, I don't mind praying for. But this thief, I'm not praying for. I'll pray for the White House, but there's no way I'll pray for the boy to have good health. Now, I'm not going to pray that he have bad health. I'm not going to pray that he have good health. He just, well, he got a God he can pray to. Now, I got a call from Clinton last night. And he said, you know, he never called me before. He got less than 24 hours. Now, he won't know if anything I can do for you. So I said, yes, there's something you can do for me. If you fire the Secretary of Defense and hire my cousin just one day. See, I got a cousin that cannot read or write, third grade dropout, don't talk too plain. He would make a lovely Secretary of Defense. Because all these white boys with all these degrees, they messed up the whole planet. And the press would love my cousin. Jabbo Jones is his name. And I could just see if the president, if he'd have put Jabbo in, and we'd have woke up this morning, and we got a third grade dropout, can't read, can't write, Secretary of Defense, the press would have gone crazy. I can just see them now. Now, Jabbo, you the secretary, what are you planning on doing about defense? Say, I'm going to paint it, then fix it. Let me say, it is very important that we don't spend the next 4 years being depressed. Huh? Let me tell you young folks something. In the 20s and the 30s, and in the 40s, when the Ku Klux Klan was the sheriff, was the mayor, was the governor, was the FBI, was the president, we defeated them then. What makes you think we're going to lose now? What makes you think that? There is a God. And if God never talks to you no more in the next 4 years, God tried to tell you in the world something on election night. When the strongest, mightiest nation, the number one democracy in the world, elect a dead man to the Senate, God trying to tell y'all there's something wrong. I've been married 41 years, and my wife ever decided to leave the party with a dead man over me. That kind of tells me something, right? Well, somewhere I say to you, don't go back wimping and getting all sad and going through all kind of changes. We understand power lies with truth. Lightness lies with truth. We are the light. They are the darkness. And what we tell them by being out here, we shine in light on your darkness. And if I went home to a wife of 41 years and see her with a gun or a flame trying to kill a roach, I'd leave her, because you don't shoot roaches, you don't coke roaches, you turn the light on. And all we got to do to deal with this situation is turn the light on, and roaches will leave. And if you really want to get rid of the roaches, clean up the damn house.
Dick Gregory, ladies and gentlemen.
And that was Dick Gregory at the Shadow inauguration. You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! When we come back, we'll go to the sounds of the street on Inauguration Day. Stay with us.
Thank you.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman as we continue with the sounds of the street on Inauguration Day in Washington, D.C. This was around 14th Street and K. This was where 1,000 protesters were stopped by police and other members of the so-called Black Bloc were confronting police, or we should say police were moving in on them.
What are you doing out here today?
We are fighting for our constitutional rights, which have been stripped away from us. They always take freedom of speech, freedom of assembly is out the window every time we get together here. They just throw the Constitution out the window. It doesn't matter. We had a Supreme Court permitted march to assemble at 14th and Penn. And all of a sudden, they're appealing that permit. And the Supreme Court is closed today. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
What is your name?
War Cry.
And what does your sticker say?
It says, it's a sticker of the American flag, and it says sold, as in sold to the highest bidder. And instead of stars, you can see all the corporate logos here.
Do you know what happened back there?
No.
The flag. The Black Bloc was marching. There had been no property damage, nothing of that sort. And we were attacked by lines of policemen. And they blocked off about 100 people, and they batoned several. They tear gassed. There's been a lot of people injured. And I just wanted to state that there was no property damage. There was nothing of that sort.
I'm standing at the corner of 14th and K. Man wearing a black mask has just unfurled a black flag, having climbed the traffic light, on top of the traffic light. And now about dozens of police officers wearing riot gear are now lining up with their wooden batons, their face masks, their helmets. Helicopters are circling overhead. And it's hard to see, but it looks like at least 1,000 people are gathered at this corner. There are signs, Bush thinks with his Cheney fraud. I got Bush, bigot, unqualified, stupid, hideous, for sale, America. Hey, George, look at how many people hate you. Okay, running across the street as I see police moving in on protesters and now beating them.
My name is Marina Citrin. I'm with the New York People's Law Collective and the National Lawyers Guild. And I've been here for over an hour on 14th and K, and there was a march of a few hundred people from the Revolutionary Anti-Capitalist Bloc. And as they were coming down the street, the police moved in and very aggressively started to push at them. They wanted to continue to march. The police tried to pen them in. Some got through, some didn't. A huge amount of violence. Police coming after them with clubs and then these thin metal rods. I'm not sure what they are they're using to push people. Coming into people on the sidewalk right here now, it's about an hour later. There's been a standoff for the last hour in different areas. A larger march came through on the street, and what it is basically people wanting to march and the police not allowing them their right to march down the street. And then just violence of hitting people over the head with clubs. There are people on bicycles who've been pulled off their bicycles and hit over the head. I witnessed one arrest of a kid who was just pulled out of the crowd, thrown on the ground, four cops on him, and arrested him. So it's a pretty frightening scene. They're using some kind of, I don't know if it's tear gas or pepper spray, in small crowds. They're not doing it so it's obvious. They're using it as they approach, just for example, right here on the corner 14th and K. About 15 police moved into a crowd, pushed people to the ground, sprayed them, and then moved back again. The police are wearing long rain jackets that come below their knees, and underneath, most of them have strapped on their gear for tear gas to protect their own faces, and then the tear gas canisters and whatever other kinds of chemical weapons are those metal bars. So it's actually not, people can't see them on the street, and they pull them out from under their coats.
So they seem to be moving in kind of skirmishes.
Yeah, and the police are definitely provoking the skirmishes, and it seems that they're moving in using violence, using some kind of chemical gas, and then moving back out again and moving to another corner. And as they do that at the same time, it seems the police lines are then moving further down the street to block off more of the street.
Officer Carrington, they say they have a legal permit to march down, and yet the police have lined up in riot gear and stopped them.
Well, I can't discuss with you the legal legalities involved. You'd have to talk to the chief of police. Subordinates.
I'm looking at your sign. It says Special Chemical Weapons Division?
That's correct.
What is that?
Special Operations deals with mass demonstrations and weapons involved if necessary.
They've used tear gas on this corner. What kind of gas is it?
We have multiple types of gas. I doubt very seriously we'll be using gas at this event.
Is it pepper spray then?
Well, we have pepper spray. We have CSN. Which we can toss in the sky or on the ground. But like I said before, I doubt very seriously we'll be using those chemicals at this demonstration.
Well, we've smelled it, and the protesters have certainly felt it. They've been describing it.
But it hasn't been on the part of anybody in MPD. Their pepper spray can be purchased now on the market to the average citizen. And citizens have been, we have recovered pepper spray from citizens.
But the police, under these long rain gear, do they have chemical weapons?
No. No, ma'am.
So your unit, are you the only... What is special about your unit?
It's the training. We train to handle mass demonstrations.
So how large is your unit that's out here now?
Out here today, we're probably about 450, maybe 500.
From the Special Chemical Weapons Division?
That's correct. CDU. Civil Defense Unit.
Now, can't any police officer use chemical weapons, or is it just your unit?
No, every police officer is trained in pepper spray.
So what is special about your unit?
We go further in we go a little bit further. We actually use CSN gas, tear gas, and chemical weapons of that nature. And we learn and we're taught to recognize it and recover them from citizens who are unauthorized to carry them.
Have you recovered any of that today?
Not to my knowledge, not at this point.
Are all these officers here in the Special Chemical Weapons Division?
Not everybody, majority. More than 75% of us are.
So they're carrying chemical weapons?
No, nobody's carrying any chemical weapons at this time. The chief has restricted that at this point. We don't feel at this point that there's a need for it.
How fast can you get it if you feel you need it?
1 minute.
1 minute?
Mm-hmm.
Where
okay,
is
you
it?
Might, I'm going to have to leave you at this point, okay? Because we don't want things to get out of hand. What did you say?
Are you covering this riot safety?
What are you doing out here?
We're with the Batavia Solidarity Network and the Global Sweatshop Coalition, and we're here for a number of purposes. First of all, we think it's a very important event for people of conscience in America to stand up against this new wave of repression, a new wave of undemocratic representation.
What does your sign say?
My sign says, I have no president. What I've been doing is I've been drafting a Declaration of Independence from George Bush. Do you think you could walk with me because I don't want to lose my group? This has not been a democracy for some time. When I say this, is United States government of America, but never before has it been so blatantly not a democracy, and never before has there been such a blatant exercise of power. So it's a very good opportunity for people to get out into the streets and to send this message that this is not a change, this is only an exacerbation of this problem.
Where are you from?
I'm from Lowell, Massachusetts.
Lowell. Isn't that a manufacturing town?
Yes, it was the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution, one of the first mill towns in the country.
What's the bright orange outfit?
This is a prison outfit. We're here today to draw attention to the prison industrial complex, which has grown out of control in this country.
Have you been an activist for a while?
Yes, I spent 30 days in jail back in October of 99 for a direct action at the Raytheon in Andover, Massachusetts. Raytheon is a technology company, but they're also the third largest weapons manufacturer in this country. And they are repeatedly petitioned by the U.S. government to make Patriot missiles and so forth that are coated with depleted uranium. This is a radioactive substance that is designed to penetrate armor, but it devastates the environment, and it also rises cancer rates where it has been dropped. Ironically, the symptoms of exposure to depleted uranium are identical to those of Gulf War syndrome.
What does your sign say?
Hail to the Banana Republicans.
Where are you from?
New York City.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing here?
What I'm doing is what most of the people who are here are doing, that's protesting the illegal election of George Bush.
What does your sign say?
Bushbuster.
Where are you from?
I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. You came out here for this protest?
Yes.
What's your name?
Maria.
Are you with a group?
No, I just came by myself. And I've been picking up a lot of people who are against Bush, too. So.
And why did you come out here?
To protest Bush.
Why?
He's not the legal president. He's not rightfully elected.
The some of the sounds of the street, and then there was the presidential motorcade. Many people were blocked off from that motorcade with very limited access to people holding their signs and lining the parade route. But when the presidential motorcade came by, people were very clear about what they felt. Selected, not elected, the protesters chanted as President Bush drove by in his motorcade on this day, January 20th, 2001, the day that George W. Bush was inaugurated to be 43rd President of the United States. And that does it for today's program. If you'd like to order a cassette copy, call 1-800-735-0230. Democracy Now! Is produced by Chris Abrams and Terry Allen. Anthony Sloan is our engineer. Our technical director is Errol Maitland. Our email address, mail@democracynow.org. From the embattled studios of WBAI, I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for listening.